It is. So that white hair makes you look very distinguished. I have the honor of hearing Pastor Malone teach and preach last year for the first time. And when I saw he was on the agenda, I was very excited. And Pastor Malone, I'm also very excited. I'm going to pick up this book. I want to hear about what you've gone through. So I think most of you know Julius, which, by the way, is my grandpa's name. My grandpa, Julius Grothe, he was born 1889. He'd be 128 if he were alive today. So Julius is a name of royalty in our family. So if we could give it up for Pastor Julius Malone. Yeah.
Some are easier to understand than others, but it doesn't matter what translation you're using. If the Holy Spirit does not open your eyes, there are things you cannot see. Even if you read the scriptures in Hebrew, no translation, just read the original Hebrew or the original Greek, still pray this prayer, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your word. I get excited about the Word of God because each time I come to it, I see things that I've not seen before.
Amen.
During my time last Monday, and I can switch to this if I need to. But
I think we need to turn you up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, Numbers chapter 7, I noticed some things last Monday that I just not noticed before, as many times as I've read it. And whenever I come to a text, no matter how many times I've read it, I know that there's something there that I haven't seen. Now, there's only one correct interpretation, but there's no end to the applications that can be made. And so I urge you that that's an assignment for you. Every time you come to the Word of God, whether you're reading it in Greek, Hebrew, no matter what translation, pray this prayer. And notice, this is the psalmist, God who wrote the psalm, and he's praying, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your word. Another assignment is, no matter who's speaking, listen for God's voice. Listen for God's voice, no matter who's speaking. And some of the things that you listen for is confirmation. Something that God has said to you, you look for confirmation. I have oneplace.com on my phone, and you can download it. It's free, oneplace.com. And I listen to an average of about 5 speakers every day. And I'm listening for confirmation, something that God has said to me. And I'm looking for edification. And from all of the speakers today, I was listening for confirmation. And for every speaker today, I received a lot of confirmation of things that God has already said to me. And when I listen to a speaker, I'm not sitting there saying, I know that, I've heard that before. No, I'm listening for confirmation, something that God has said to me. And I'm listening for a rhema, application. A word from God just for me. That's a rhema word. And very interesting, when Jesus met the devil in the wilderness, and chapter 4. For each temptation, he had a specific word, and that's a rhema. It's a specific word for a specific situation. And faith comes by hearing, Romans chapter 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In the word there is rhema. There is the logos, which is the whole word of God. And then there is the rhema, which is a specific word. And when Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, it's rhema. It's rhema. And in Job 23:12 in the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It's rhema. I've esteemed the rhema of his mouth more than my necessary food. And so to look for that rhema, no matter who's speaking, you look for rhema, you look for confirmation, you look for illustrations, you look for edification, and you listen for God's voice, no matter who's speaking. And again, through all the speakers today, I was listening for confirmation, and I received it from all of the speakers. And my book, Going Through the Storms of Life, whatever book I sign, or put my name in, I write there Romans 8:28, and we know God works all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purposes. And I just see that over and over and over and over again. And with our last speaker, I just see how God just took and just worked for good. And so do that. All right? Now, let's pray. And then I'm going to ask you to stand while I read the text. And I'm going to give you really the message tonight and tomorrow, just in a nutshell. But first, let's pray. And Lord God, we thank you for all of the speakers today. We thank you for all that we've heard. I've heard your voice through each speaker, and I thank you for them. And now as we come to your word, our prayer is Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your word. You have a rhema for each of us. And grant us the grace to hear that rhema. Speak to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray. Amen. Now if you'll stand with me as I read Psalm 63. And we'll see how the Lord leads us. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lip shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow in fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And the Hebrews had three watches divided up into so many hours. The Romans added to that and had four watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. And that's good. You can read the rest of the verses later on. And but I'm not going to get beyond verse 8, I know. So you may be seated. Many of you know, 3 years ago, I had surgery for pancreatic cancer. And after the surgery, the nurse sat down with me, and I took my camcorder with me because people were praying for me all over the world. And because of prayer, there were a number of things that happened that were unusual, and I knew that these things were happening because so many people were praying for me. And I took my camcorder with me because I wanted the doctor, Dr. Douglas Evans, to mention some of the things that were unusual. And I knew they were unusual because of prayer. And before he came to talk to me, the nurse sat down with me, and she said, I read lab reports every day, and your lab report, they don't get any better than this. And she said, you know, when we assigned you to chemotherapy, we really were not expecting to see you again. There's something to this prayer thing.
Yeah.
And I said, would you let me record some of the things you're saying here? Would you let me record them? And I promise you, I will not show this outside of my house. If you'll let me record it. And I did. And of course, when the doctor came in, I told him, I said, I'd like to record some of the things that you expected to do that you did not have to do. For example, they thought they were going to have to send me home with a feeding tube. They didn't have to do that. So there were just a number of things. And the doctor said, well, if you're going to put this on YouTube, I will need to script it. I can't just speak off the cuff. And so let me script some things, and I'll, you know, you can record it. And I said, well, I'll have my son to come in and do a recording. I want to put it on YouTube. And he said, well, I'll have to script it. And what he did is he got the whole staff together, everyone that was involved in my treatment. And he did that. I didn't ask him to do that. I just asked him to mention some things that were unusual that happened that he didn't anticipate. Like the feeding tube and so on. And then so he said that he would do that. So he got the staff together, and you can see it on, if you'll just Google in Pastor Malone surgery, Pastor Malone surgery, and everybody that was involved in the surgery and so on, they have something to say. And when you watch that YouTube, recognize that I didn't ask him to do that. That was God. I didn't ask him to do that. I just asked him to say a few things that were unusual. So he got the whole staff together and all that. So anyway, you can see that. I can just Google and pass him on surgery. And every 6 months they do a scan, and they do a blood work, and they do an X-ray, and the results are the same every year. Or every 6 months, and everything is fine. And the nurse, she frequently says to me, and she says, she said to me a couple of weeks ago, I had my 6 month scan and everything. And she says to me, you are a miracle. I hear that all the time. She says, and again, you know, when they just assigned me to chemotherapy. They did an X expect to see me again. He says, you are a miracle. And last Tuesday, or not last week, the week before that, she saw me. When she first saw me, she says, what is the good word for today? And I wasn't expecting that, so I stood there for a moment, somewhat in shock. I wasn't expecting that. She said, what's the good word? And I said, begin your day with worship. You walk with God, and walking with God, I'll talk about that tomorrow too, requirements for walking with God. And walking with God just means you're conscious. It's a consciousness. And of course, if you're walking with someone, you are aware, you're conscious of their presence. You're conscious that they're there. And to walk with someone, you have to be in step with them. You're not ahead of them, you're not behind them. You're walking together, and that involves obedience. And so you begin your day with worship, and this is an assignment for you. But for the next 7 days, just try this. For the next 7 days, you begin your day with worship, and we're going to talk about worship, what that is, what does it look like to worship God. You begin your day with worship. Throughout the day, you walk with God. You're conscious of God, no matter where you are. You're in your car. You're conscious that God is there. And you wait upon God for directions. And waiting upon God, I don't mean that you're in a corner somewhere and waiting for God to speak. And when I say you know, God spoke or whatever, it's impressions.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's impressions, and those impressions generally will be so gently that many times we miss God's voice because it's so gentle. You know, God doesn't shout. It's so gentle. Many times you miss it because He speaks so softly, so gently. And again, it's impressions. You're not going to hear a voice. And if you hear a voice, see me or see somebody. if you hear an audible voice. And so when I say that God said or God spoke to me, it's an impression that I receive. Worship. You worship God. Begin your day with worship. You walk with God. And you wait upon God. And when you wait upon God, you practice stillness, silence, and solitude. Stillness. Moses, in Exodus chapter 24, Moses was on the mountain 7 days and seven nights before God spoke. 7 days. We can't be still for 7 minutes. 7 days and seven nights before God spoke. And I want to urge you, before you get out of bed in the morning, just be still. Just be still. Just for a few moments. Just be still. And then silence. Sometimes during the day, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off even if you're listening to me, turn me off. And just be quiet. Just a few moments of quietness. Usually during the day, I mentioned earlier, I listen to different speakers for confirmation, edification, but I just shut everything down. One of my favorite speakers is John Piper. But others that I listen to, but as God spoke to me and said, you know, if you'll be still and be quiet, I'll speak to you. And you know, if you listen to Chuck Swindoll or Tony Evans, if you hear something profound, they got it from me.
Yes.
Whatever you hear that's profound, yes, they got it from me.
Yes.
And so you're not going to hear anything that's more profound than what I'm going to say to you. And if you'll be quiet, I'll show you some things I didn't show John MacArthur. I'll show you some things I didn't show Spurgeon. I'll show you some things that I didn't show Chuck Swindoll. If you just be quiet. Stillness. Moses was still. Exodus 24 was still. 7 days, seven nights. And Elijah's stillness, silence. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we read that there was an earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. He was just passing by. There was a strong wind. Wind so strong that it broke the rocks in pieces. But God wasn't in the wind. He was just passing by. And then there was a wind. There was a fire. There was an earthquake. And God wasn't in any of that. He was just passing by. And I often think, man, if all of this is happening and he's just passing by, what if he stops? He's just passing by. And it was in the still small voice that God spoke. The still small voice, when everything was silent, that's when God spoke to Elijah. And Elijah wrapped himself in his mantle, and I believe that what he was doing was getting rid of the distraction so he could hear God. He could give God his undivided attention. And then solitude. Just get to yourself sometimes during the day for a few moments. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we read there that Jesus got up a great while before day and he went to a solitary place to pray where it was quiet. This is the message. This is it for this week. And we're just going to spend a few moments looking at some of the details here. But you begin your day with worship. You walk with God. You wait upon God. And while you're waiting, you practice stillness, silence, solitude. And this is what you will find. This will be the result. God will impress upon you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and he will give you the energy with which to do it. And if you're doing something and you're frustrated, put it aside. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time for all things. Do all things at the right time. There's a time for all things. Do all things at the right time. You can do the right thing, but at the wrong time. You can say the right thing, but at the wrong time. There's some things you need to say to your wife, but you need to say them at the right time. And the same thing, if you're watching the Packers, that's not the right time for her to say, darling, we need to talk. What she wants to say to you is something that needs to be said, but that's not the right time. So there's a time for all things. Do all things at the right time. And throughout the day, every day, I find myself saying, this needs to be done, but is this the right time? Is this the right time to do this? Okay. Worship, walk with God, wait upon God, and as you're waiting, you practice stillness, silence, solitude. And God will tell you, will impress upon you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and he will give you the energy to do it. And if you're frustrated and you're anxious, you're not on God's schedule. And by the way, Psalm 139, verse 16 in the Living Bible. You saw me before I was born. And you scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. You saw me before I was born. Scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. my prayer every morning, my wife and I, we usually we pray together before we start our day in the morning, and our prayer is, Lord, give us the grace to walk in the steps that you have ordered for us. Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps. This is my theme song for our radio program when I come on radio every day, Monday through Friday, Joy 1340. Order my steps in your word. All right, worship. And by the way, the nurse, she said, what's the word for today? And I said, you begin your day with worship, you walk with God, you wait upon God, and while you're waiting, you practice stillness, silence, solitude. She said, that's a good word. And so that is the, that's the word. Worship. What is worship? The Hebrew word that's most often translated worship is shakah. C-H-A-C-H-A-H. Shakah. That's all he would say. And the Greek word that's most often translated worship is proskuneo. 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 P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O. Proskuneo. And it means to kiss the hand. It means to submit to a superior being. It means to prostrate oneself before a superior being. Okay, now, what if you don't know Greek, you don't know Hebrew? A number of years ago, I did a series on worship, and this is what I did. I took the word worship, I looked at all of the places in the Bible where the word worship occurs, and I looked at what people did when they worshiped, and the context in which they did it. And my favorite definition, and I like biblical definitions. I like biblical definitions. Biblical definitions. And my favorite definition for worship, Job chapter 1, 2021, is valuing God more than anything or anyone in all the world. That's worship. Valuing God more than anything or anyone in all the world. Job was able to worship after he lost in one day three daughters and seven sons, because when he lost three daughters, seven sons, ten children, all that he had, he still had what he valued most, and that was God. He still God. And that is why he could worship God, because he still had what he valued most. And so please remember that definition. Worship is valuing God more than anything or anyone. And so when you begin your day with worship, that means you spend a few moments with God, worshiping God, before the coffee, before the newspaper, before CNN, before Fox, and so before breakfast, before anything, you begin your day with just a few moments communing with God. That's worship. And then Psalm 63. I urge you to read it, reread it. Worship is seeking the manifest presence of God. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul, verse 8, follows hard after thee. Look at verse 1 again. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul longeth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. It's seeking the manifest presence of God. There are three aspects of the presence of God. Please lay hold of this. There is the omnipresence presence of God. Omnipresence of God. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Jeremiah 23, 24. There is nowhere that you can go in all the universe to get away from the omnipresence of God. David says, if I go up as high as I can go, you're there. If I go down as low as I can go, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost, in other words, if I go as far to the north as I can go, you're there. As far to the south as I can go, you're there. As far to the east, as far to the west. In other words, there is nothing, there's no place that I can go in all the universe where you're not. And God said to Jeremiah 23:24, I fill all of heaven. That's the omnipresence of God. And so there's no place that you can go to get away from the omnipresent presence of God. He's everywhere. And so when David says, I'm seeking you, it's not the omnipresent, because it's everywhere. And then there is the indwelling presence.
Jesus, remember Jesus said to the disciples that the Holy Spirit is with you, but he's going to be in you. And so if you're saved tonight, if you're born again, you're indwelt by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You're indwelt by the triune God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6, you're indwelt by God the Father. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, you're indwelt by God the Son. Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, you're indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. Now, there are other passages. But if you're saved tonight, you're indwelt by the triune God. You're indwelt by God the Father, you're indwelt by God the Son, you're indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. There's no place you can go where you're going to get away from the omnipresence of God. There's no place you can go where you're going to get rid of or get away from the indwelling presence of God. You can't say now, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, what you see right here, I'm going to go into potawatomi for a while, or I'm going to fornicate for a while, or I'm going to commit adultery for a while, and we'll get together again. No, wherever you go, they go with you. You can't get away from the indwelling presence of the triune God. You can't get away from the omnipresent of God. But the manifest presence is what you feel. The manifest presence is what you sense. And when David says, oh God, early will I see you, he's talking about the manifest presence of God. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And in Psalm 16:11, in thy presence there is fullness of joy. That is the manifest presence of God. There is fullness of joy in the manifest presence of God. And so when we're in the manifest presence of God, we have full joy. Now, when you have full joy, you're not looking for joy. You see, people who are looking for, And many people are searching. They're searching for something. And many times, many don't know what it is they're searching for. It's the manifest presence of God that they're looking for. But God has created us for him. And there is a space. There's a longing in our hearts. And many times we don't know what it is. It's God. It's the manifest presence of God that we long for. And when you have the manifest, when you have fullness of joy, you don't look for joy in drugs. You don't look for joy in alcohol, because you have full joy. And when you have full joy, if you were to find joy, where would you put it? Where would you put it? If you have full joy. People who have full joy, you're not looking for joy. You have it. This is why at midnight, Paul and Silas, they could sing praises in Acts chapter 16. They had full joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And in Philippians, he wrote Philippians when he was in jail. And throughout the book, he's talking about joy. The manifest presence of God. Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. It's the manifest presence. Not the outside presence, not the indwelling presence. It's the manifest presence. And a requirement for that is just simple obedience. Obedience. And so worship is seeking
the manifest presence of God. And then secondly, worship is satisfaction with God. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow. That is the finest of food. When I experience your manifest presence, I'm going to be satisfied. It's satisfaction with God. And you know, did you know, God is seeking seekers. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord were on to and fro throughout the whole world to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You know what a perfect heart is? It's not a perfect person. It's a heart of, they're satisfied. That find him, that it's a seeker is someone who is seeking God to bless God. A seeker is someone who is satisfied with God and with God alone. Now, God is seeking seekers. He's seeking people who are seeking him, not for his blessings, but just for him, for his manifest presence. God is seeking seekers. God is seeking someone who is seeking him. And the seeker is someone who's seeking God, who's satisfied with God. And so here is God looking throughout the whole earth to find a seeker. John chapter 4, the true worship shall worship God in spirit and truth, but God seeketh such, you know, to worship him. And so here, God is seeking the seeker, and the seeker is seeking God. The seeker is seeking God to bless God, and God is seeking the seeker to bless the seeker. And so here's the seeker seeking God to bless God, and here's God seeking the seeker. You know, God wants to seek the seeker. God wants to find the seeker to bless the seeker. The seeker wants to bless God. And so when the seeker who wants to bless God meets God who wants to bless the seeker, who's going to have bless him?
Thank you, Jesus.
Who's going to outbless who?
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
You can't outbless God. But God is seeking someone who's seeking him.
Yes, yes.
Not for his blessings.
But him. That's it.
But when you find him, he's going to bless you.
That's it.
With himself. Worship is seeking the manifest presence. Worship is satisfaction with God. And then worship, verse 3, is singing to God. Now, there's a difference between singing about God and singing to God. Now, singing about God, that's okay. And there are songs of glorification to God, and there are songs of edification. And we need both. We need songs of edification, songs that encourage us, songs that lift us, songs that edify us. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot now has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's a song of edification. And we need those. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. That's a song of edification, and we need those. Songs of glorification. Those are songs to God. And I heard some tonight. Oh, Lord my God. When I announce some wonder, consider all the words thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thou power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. And you know, I see the brook and I feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul.
Yes, yes.
How great thou art. As the deer panted for the water, my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone May my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Worship is singing to God. Let me urge you this week, just sing a song. And the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song.
Say it.
And you know, if you can't sing, get a song that's saying to God what you want to sing. And you know, all week, you know what I've been saying all week? Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. There were times when I just wouldn't do right. But your grace and mercy were watching over me both day and night. In our bulletin this week, I have words to stand on. Words to stand on each week. I write words to stand on in our church bulletin. And usually I relate the words to stand on with our memory verse. Let me just read the words to stand on for tomorrow. And I've been dealing this month with the attributes of God, and tomorrow is the mercy of God. And this is our bulletin tomorrow, and I'll close here. Mercy is another attribute of God. Grace means that God gives us what we do not deserve. Justice means that God gives us what we deserve. And God is a just God, therefore God has never been, and God will never be unjust to anyone. No one can ever say, God did not give me justice. No, you. God will never be unjust to anyone. Mercy means that we do not receive the punishment that justice demands. Let me say that again. Mercy means that we do not receive the punishment that justice demands. Now, let me give you two passages, two scriptures. Ezra said, and after all that is come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespasses, seeing that thou, our God, has punished us less than what our iniquities deserve, and has given us such deliverance as this. This is Ezra 9:13. One of the best definitions in the Bible of mercy. And in Psalm 103 verse 10, David said this, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And then according to Psalm 136, God's mercies endure forever. According to Psalm 100 verse 5, God's mercy is everlasting. The Bible teaches that there is a, and of course the Bible teaches that there is a current wrath. Romans chapter 1 verse 18, John 3:36. And then there is a coming wrath. Luke 3:7, Romans 5:9, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Revelation chapter 6, 13 through 17. Now, whenever and wherever you see the wrath of God, you know what? You also see the mercy of God. And the prayer of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 2, in wrath, remember mercy. Remember mercy. And you know, one of the things that we're seeing right now around America, Houston, all of these places with the hurricanes and all of that, we're seeing the mercy of God. You know, if there are 1,000 people, 900 lose their lives, and 100 do not, mercy. The 100 saw mercy.
Exactly.
Did you know if God were to wipe us all out, we will be receiving justice, but no one ever gets justice. There's always mercy. And when you see loss of lives, and lives that are not lost, that's mercy. If God were to wipe us all out, if we all lost our lives, we would just be getting justice. We'd just be getting what we deserve.
That's all.
But we don't get what we deserve. Every day, we receive mercy. If we all died today, no one would receive it. I just said, you know, listen. God tells us that we're to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. How many of us tonight can say, I did that today? He tells us to pray without ceasing. How many of us can say, I did that today? He tells us to love one another, to forgive one another. How many of us can say, we did that today? He says us, if we have something against somebody, Matthew chapter 18, we're to go to them. We tend to go to everybody else except them. He tells us that if someone has something against us, Matthew chapter 5, we're still to go to them and seek reconciliation. We can just go on and on and on and on with things that God has commanded us to do that we didn't do. And so if He were to give us justice, we wouldn't be here. But every day we get mercy. Every day we get mercy. And that's been my song that I've been singing to God. Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of You. And so every day we get mercy. And in all of these places where you see hurricanes, I see mercy. I see mercy. And Habakkuk's prayer was in wrath. Remember mercy. And so the next time you see a tragedy, and you see some lives spared, you're seeing mercy. You're seeing mercy. Thank God for His mercy. Tomorrow morning, first thing, before breakfast, before anything, just a few moments, communing with God. And you know what? Listen, did you know that God controls sleep? In the book of Esther, the king could not sleep because God wanted to wreck his bed. God controls sleep. Not except you can't sleep. Don't take sleeping pills. Just assume that God has taken away your sleep because He wants to commune with you. Just make that assumption.
Say that.
I can't sleep because God wants to talk to me, or He wants me to talk to Him. This is the time to be still and to be silent and to listen to God or commune with God. Don't fight sleep. God controls sleep. Begin your day with worship, just a few moments. Did you know, God gives us all the same amount of time. The Bible says in Him we live and move and have our being, our very breath is in His hand, Daniel chapter 5. God can stop us from breathing anytime He wants to. Just a few moments. Just worshiping God, adoring God. And by the way, when you sing to God, you know, just what David does here, he says, your loving kindness is better than life. Therefore, my lips shall praise You. He's talking about the loving kindness of God. And so one of the ways that you sing to God is just sing about one of His attributes. And for me, this week has been grace and mercy. I mean, you can sing about His love. You can sing about His mercy. You can sing about His power. He's omnipotent. He's almighty. You know, just declare one of His attributes, one more of His attributes. Sing one of His attributes back to Him. God loves Him. Do you know, and you know what His favorite attribute is? Holy. You know, in English, we have a number of ways in which we emphasize things. We can use quotation marks. We can use exclamation points. We can underline. We can italicize. There are a number of ways that we can emphasize when we write. But in Hebrew, it's repetition. And God created some beings to just tell Him He's holy.
Amen.
That's the day and night. Revelation, I believe it's chapter 4, verse 8. And Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. That's the only answer. guys repeat it.
Holy, holy, holy.
And he created these beings just to tell him 24/7, you're holy. That's all he do.
He just said, you're holy.
Amen.
Holy, holy. And so when you want to declare an attribute and you don't know which one to choose, you know, you want to praise God, you want to work, just say, God, you're holy. That's all. He loves that. You're holy.
You're gracious. You're merciful.
That's all.
So begin with worship. Tell God a few things about himself. You walk with God. Just conscious of his presence. Conscious of the fact that he's there no matter where you go.
Worship. Walk with God.
And then wait. And when I say wait, I mean, I'm not saying you get in a corner somewhere and you still, you just go about whatever you're doing, but just, you know, wait for God to give you directions. There's a decision that you need to make. Something that you need to do. Wait for God to give you directions. It's a problem that you have. Wait for God to give you a solution. Wait for God to show you what to do. He'll show you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and he'll give you the strength to do it. And so wait for that. Before you make that decision, or before whatever, you make that move, wait for God to direct you. And he will. When you do those things, begin with worship.
Walk with God. Wait upon God. Stillness, silence, solitude. He'll show you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and he'll give you the strength and wisdom how to do it.
I want to just leave you with that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for these reminders. I thank you for all of the speakers today. And thank you for the things that you have, the confirmation that you've given me through all of them. And now I ask that you would give us the grace to begin each day from this day forward with a few moments of worship. A few moments telling you things about yourself that you know. Declaring your attributes. A few moments of worship. Teach us how to walk with you, Lord. To be conscious of your presence, Lord. No matter where we go, you're omnipresent. You're everywhere and you indwell us. No matter where we go, we're in our car, wherever. The shower, wherever, you're there. Grant us the grace to walk with you and then to wait upon you, Lord. Many of us here tonight, we have decisions to make. Grant us the grace to wait for you to give us clear directions as to what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And to trust you to give us the strength and the energy to do it. And if that strength, if that energy isn't there, then our timing is off. Give us the grace to do these things. I pray for anyone with us tonight who has not come to know you in a personal way through Jesus Christ. I pray that you would save someone tonight for your glory.
Yes.
Give them the grace, Lord, to trust you. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just quietly pray these words to him. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm lost. That you're the only one who can save me. Your word says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes me. Your word says, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. As many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God. Tonight, Lord Jesus, I want to receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Give me the grace to believe. Give me the grace to receive. Give me the grace to repent. And I pray in your name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pray with me. Be sure to let someone know tonight that you've done that. God bless you. Have a good night.